Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle, coming up on the programme this week.
Children identify so much more when you say to them, no, I've had that feeling before. They'll open up even more. And so these books are basically the conversation starter to get children to open up. They've gone through the pandemic. They've got the pressures of social media that are coming from a ridiculously young age. How on earth do we get them, and that's why I've started at such a young age, how do we get them to understand their feelings by the time they're 2 or 3 or 4 years old? Because we need that in order for them to be able to talk about what they're feeling, because they're going to be exposed to some of this stuff at 4, 5, 6 years old. No family or child should ever have to go through this ever again. And therefore I need to be a woman on an absolute mission to create a legacy for my sister, but also make sure that the next generation of children understand how to talk about their feelings.
The home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome to the programme. My name is Mick Coyle. As ever, thank you for your streams and your downloads. Today on Mental Health Monday, we're marking Children's Mental Health Week, or Children's Mental Health Awareness Week, with an important conversation about reading and children getting the ability to read, and parents making the time in their day to sit down and read with their children, not just so that they learn the English language and, you know, get the benefit of the stories, but it's about creating a space and a moment where you and your child can have a conversation about thoughts and feelings in a relaxed environment, away from the classroom, away from even brothers and sisters, within, you know, the bedroom environment just before bed, where if they've got something on their mind, they can let off a little bit of steam. Now, there's some stats around this one. 52% of parents say that books are a great way of using a character or using a plot to talk about feelings, with 50% of parents saying actually characters in books are a great way of talking about a thought, a feeling. How do you think they feel when they did that? Would you be able to do that? Why not? Has something like that ever happened to you? How did you feel at the time? Those sorts of conversations, which are safe because they're within that safe environment between a parent and a child, that the child feels like they can talk because they've been given permission to by a story, either written in a book or that's being told by a parent. And it's just a really great way to end the day for those young children to head off to sleep without a care in the world. And ultimately, I think as parents, that's, oh, you know, what we want to achieve, so our children can get that great night's sleep. And hey, don't we know, if your children get a good night's sleep, the next day is always so much easier. Now, Esther Marshall is our guest. She is a children's author, and she's been doing some fantastic work in this space with the Sophie Says books. And there's a series of these, and I'll put links to them in the podcast notes. And it's all about creating, again, that space, a story that you can do, which fills a child with positive affirmations, but also gives them the opportunity to start a conversation about an aspect of the story, a character that they like, and to bring positivity into a child's life without them necessarily even knowing it. So when they grow up and they are thinking about how to feel positive about themselves and how to think about their thoughts and feelings, you as a parent have already equipped them with the skills because you did it when they were 5, 6, 7 years of age at bedtime. I think it's a really profound thing to talk about for Children's Mental Health Week. And Esther set out how she got into this. Her story, by the way, contains a reference to her sister's suicide. So we really appreciate Esther being so open and honest about her journey. Just wanted to flag, though, that suicide is part of this conversation.
Yeah, so I mean, my actual job was kind of around diversity and inclusion, mental health, kind of in the corporate space for adults. So I knew that writing was something that I enjoyed doing. But it wasn't until I had my son where I kind of held him and thought, oh my goodness, there needs to be stuff for children around this. And it needs to be not hidden away in a library, round the corner, under, filed under, you know, mental health or whatever it is. It needs to be mainstream, fun and exciting. And I want to be the one to read that to my son. And if I can't find that, let me try and create something that he can then read. And that's kind of where we came up with it. Me and my sister at the time, she's very good at kind of illustrating and I was going to do the writing. And I used the kind of nighttime feeds to write the first book, Sophie Says I Can, I Will. And then it kind of flowed from there. We had, my sister actually couldn't do the illustrations because she then became incredibly unwell. She's a junior doctor and became very depressed and anxious after everything that she was seeing and all the pressure that came with that. And in the March, we went into lockdown in the March, and in the January before then, she decided that she could no longer carry on, and we lost her. I came home that night and said, you know, I wrote, Sophie says it's okay not to be okay, because, you know, after the police telling us they, you know, found her body, I was like, no family or child should ever have to go through this ever again. And therefore I need to be a woman on an absolute mission to create a legacy for my sister, but also make sure that the next generation of children understand how to talk about their feelings, and that it becomes just part of what they do so that they can get the help that they need.
In losing a sister, and thank you for being so honest about, you know, your own personal story in this, in losing a sister, did it confirm to you just how important the education and doing something much further upstream, how important that was to do and to get right?
Without a doubt, it lit a fire inside me that was burning so kind of bright. We have to make a change. There just isn't enough out there. Parents, teachers, we weren't taught this stuff growing up, you know? And then, you know, you've got a whole different dynamic now with this generation, whereby they've gone through the pandemic. They've got the pressures of social media that are coming from a ridiculously young age. How on earth do we get them? And that's why I've started at such a young age. How do we get them to understand their feelings by the time they're 2 or 3 or 4 years old? Because we need that in order for them to be able to talk about what they're feeling, because they're going to be exposed to some of this stuff at 4, 5, 6 years old.
The survey stats around this are really interesting. 52% of parents use books to talk about feelings. 50% said that, you know, characters in books can help them sort of share those stories.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder as to whether or not parents who don't read to their children are actually really missing out on something. And that something is a creation of a very special, intimate place where you can share with a child thoughts and ideas. And they, because it's all part of the story, part of the book, can respond to it. That safe space can open up a conversation to anything beyond the book, as well as what's in that book. And that might involve their own difficult feelings about maybe when they've gone through a difficult time, like this character in the book, or how do you think this character in the book's feeling right now? Have you ever felt like that? That opportunity to have that conversation is missed, and it's missed 100% by parents who don't engage with their child in that, or who think that by giving them an iPad before bedtime and letting them take care of themselves is a suitable option. It's a very special time, isn't it? And they're only young once.
Yep. 100%. You literally have said everything that I wholeheartedly believe in. I do it with my kids as well. There cannot be a time where you don't have that space with them. It is so important. It fosters this bond between the two of you. It creates this trust. And they are calm at that point. The day is so busy anyway. And they get to this place where suddenly they kind of, without them realizing, they're going through all the emotions that they've had in the day. And if they do then, you know, say, actually, this happened at school and I was really sad about it or whatever, you're there and you can capture that in that moment rather than letting it fester for weeks and weeks and weeks before it turns into something way worse than it needed to be. And you can capture that. And even if they can't articulate it, if they're young or regardless, they can't articulate it, you can read these books and they can say, actually, I feel like Jamie's feeling. They don't have to necessarily have the words. And then you can also become way more human to them and say, I felt like that once. This happened to me. And they don't look at you as this like perfect, perfect human being. And I think so many of us growing up used to think, oh, we have to look as if everything's rosy. But actually, children identify so much more when you say to them, no, I've had that feeling before. They'll open up even more. And so these books are basically the conversation starter to get children to open up. We've then created the feeling and affirmation cards that come with that, because parents say to us, these books are great. They've opened up the conversation. But now, because I wasn't taught this, I don't know how to continue the conversation. Great. So we've had teachers and educational psychologists help us create these, that they have the same colors from the books, the same characters from the books. So all children really need to do is, you know, we've had tons of parents say they do this before bedtime. They lay them out on the bed and they say, you know, how are you feeling? All they have to do is point. And it builds up this vocabulary for them to be able to talk about their feelings, which means that parents can then either kind of help them in that moment that is bedtime, or if it's a bigger problem, get them the help that they need.
I like the idea as well that by doing that, you create that routine. And you know, 95% of parenting is routine, isn't it? Let's be absolutely honest. But you create that routine. And in doing so, not waiting until there's a crisis point and then trying to throw your child into this world of mental health and well-being, but actually just to have that as a normal part of bedtime,
yep.
It allows you, doesn't it, as parents, to almost like judge maybe expressions or emotions that the child is showing. And say, well, actually, their behavior has been a little bit X at the moment. And actually, when I sat down with them, they tended to lean towards Y or Z. I think making the time for that presumably has a huge impact down the line that you can then foresee maybe some of the issues or start to see, hey, I noticed you've pressed on, you know, X, Y, or Z here. Why is it that you're feeling like that at the moment? Or And I think that's huge, isn't it? That it gives them permission and the language and the space to be able to have that conversation.
Without a doubt. And if you don't have that conversation, you don't know. So if they've been saying they were sad and you nipped it in the bud, and then they then say, today, actually, I felt happy because this happened, that's fine. But if you actually get they're sad and it's been weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, you'll know because they've been having that conversation with you, or they've been pointing at the feeling card that says sad, and that's the one, you know. You've got affirmation cards they can put in their school bag so you can help them to build their resilience. Yeah, there's all these different things that you can do around it. We've got videos around different kind of breathing techniques that you can help, because we just find so many parents and teachers say, we just have no idea where to start. And that's literally my entire mission of let's get every single child talking about this. Let's create that bond even better, right? There's so, like you're saying, so many children on screens, etc. Their bond is kind of being pulled away. Let's get that back. Yes, some people might think that's old school, but then you know how your child's feeling, and who doesn't want to know how their child's feeling and who doesn't want to help?
The parents and the sort of the teachers and people who come with feedback for the Sophie Says series, are there particular issues that they're finding it works particularly well for? Is there a type of maybe behavior or, you know, an experience that children are having which has been maybe quite difficult to get into, and yet by using the process, that's something which has maybe opened up a conversation?
Yeah, the main thing that people say is there's an interactive element. So you've got Sophie and all of her friends, Jordan, Jamie, Priya and Drew, but then you've got Bunny. And I put Bunny in to kind of make this really fun and proactive. So sometimes mental health can be, you know, oh, do we touch this, whatever. It's proactive. It's completely fun. There's nothing scary in any of the book. And Bunny hides on each of the pages. And the children love when I go in to do the author readings at schools, they love trying to find the bunny. And because of that, all the repetition and the rhyme keeps going in. The parents and teachers say, we can read this book to them 10, 12 times a night sometimes, because all they want to do is find the bunny. And therefore, if you've got I can, I will, you've got it's okay not to be okay, you've got be proud of who you are, consistently, subliminally kind of going through their brains, you're building them up. I mean, that's what I do when I try and look for a title. I say, Sophie says, making life's most important lessons fun to learn. What is it that I wish I would have known when I was younger that would have helped me through my teens, 20s and 30s to become a more confident and resilient person? And that's how I get the title. And that's what we're doing. And that is the main feedback that comes of so many of the children when they're feeling like this, then repeat it. They say, I can, I will. Even if it's something as simple as I need to do up my shoelace, but I can't. It's okay not to be okay. It's okay to cry. It's okay to talk about my feelings. And then they identify with the characters. It just opens up the conversation.
Is there an example? Do you have an example, Esther, that you can give us of a story or a sentence, a line from your own childhood, a book that you read? Sometimes it's a film that you might see, but like those things that stayed with you that made you think, actually, this is the sort of stuff that kids remember. This is the sort of stuff that stays with you and allows you to become a 20 or a 30-year-old and use the skill set that you picked up when you were 8, 9, 10 years of age to progress through a problem that you've got.
So I don't think we had those kind of books growing up. I remember very much having story time with my parents, but I remember, you know, now they bring them over to my kids, say, oh, we used to read this to you when you were young. I'm like, well, what is that? You know, and that's exactly the same. Yeah, you know, the thing I do remember is reading the Alex Rider books. And I remember at school them telling me, you know, girls can do whatever they want. And I remember thinking reading Alex Rider, who was this, you know, child Bond character. Alex is a girl. I mean, he's not in the book, it's a boy, but I remember thinking, I'm going to change this narrative and I'm going to make it a girl and I'm going to be able to go out and change and do this and that. But I think while we were growing up, it was for us to be able to change that narrative ourselves rather than it just being a narrative that was there in front of us. And that's the bit that I'm trying to change, because not all children are going to go out there and change that narrative.
My daughter, I have a 10-year-old daughter. This is why I'm so passionate about children's books. 10-year-old daughter, a 6-year-old son. And my daughter had to write a piece from a book, a line from a book. And she wrote the one from the twits, which is about people who have beautiful thoughts or good thoughts, that even if you've got crooked teeth and spotty skin and crooked teeth, if you have good thoughts, they will shine out of you like sunbeams and you will always look beautiful, which is the most incredible piece of writing. But it's based on that idea around, it's not just what's on the outside, what's on the inside is real. And she'd written that as like a line, and she'd written it word for word, absolutely, perfectly. And I said, did you copy that? She said, no, I just remembered it. And I thought, goodness me, that's a great sign of something that really does stick.
That's the power. It's the same kind of message around be proud of who you are. It's like, be proud of the outside and in the inside. And when I go to these author readings and the children know the words of the books and they're reading it back to you, I mean, I am no Taylor Swift or anything like that, but you know, when that crowd sings back the lyrics, it does, it fills you with such joy of like the stuff that I've been writing, you know, here, there, or everywhere is actually going into these children. They are really taking it on board and they know this stuff off by heart. And this is going to become the kind of soundtrack, if you will, to their childhood that will hopefully take them through into a more resilient adulthood.
Yeah. And of course, creates those great, great moments. And it's also good for you as a parent to have that time with a child. It helps you decompress, doesn't it, at the end of a day? So it's really special. Where can people find more about the Sophie Says? Often there's a big bad bookshop online that everyone can go to, but I'm sure plenty of independent retailers will also have the Sophie Says.
Exactly, there is that one as well, but we do most of the stuff through www.sophiesaysofficial for that exact reason, because there are over 400,000 children in the UK that don't have a single book at home. And for me, especially from a diversity inclusion point of view, it shouldn't matter who you are. You should be having books at home. You should be having these kind of books at home. So for every book that we sell kind of on our website rather than through other channels that you said and through kind of independent bookstores, we then donate another book to a child at home that doesn't have a book. So we've been able to do around 25 to 30,000 already through our charity partners. So yeah, www.sophiesaysofficial.com. You can follow us at Sophie Says Official or me at S Marsh on Instagram, where you can find out more about new books that are coming out, new resources, our school programs, everything that we're doing. Come chat with us. Come and tell me how you found the books and everything, because that's the best part of doing this and hearing everything.
Brilliant. And we'll get those links up there. Esther, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Thanks for speaking to us and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.